Off Air, the podcast with Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
You eat cheese in the sink?
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh,
no, how would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast, now available on the Times radio app.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
From The Times and The Sunday Times, I'm Luke Jones. This is The Story.
I've had the expert advice and I do not owe any capital gains tax on that property.
Angela Rayner thought that would be it. A row about the 2015 sale of her Stockport Council house closed. But it really isn't.
I think the double standards have been extraordinary. Angela Rayner herself has spent her political career calling people out for exactly the thing that she seems to be doing now. Well, I think this is just very straightforward, and there's a very important legal point here. It is not acceptable to avoid or evade taxation in the way that may have occurred here, and it's not as acceptable to simply bury heads and ignore the situation, which is what, of course, Angela Rayner wants people to do.
Did Labour's deputy leader actually live somewhere else when she sold her home? And did this mean that she avoided taxes on the sale or lied on the electoral register? Conservative MPs are making hay. The police is investigating. But of her innocence, Keir Starmer is confident.
Are you 100% confident Angela Rayner's done nothing wrong here?
I'm very confident.
100% confident?
I'm very confident in Angela Rayner.
That's different to 100% confident.
Look, don't try and play a game on this. I've been absolutely clear. Angela's answered all those questions. I have full confidence in her. I've expressed that over and over again.
For someone who spent a career lambasting Tory scandals, perhaps it's a lesson that people in glass main residences shouldn't throw stones. The story today is Angela Rayner and Labour in trouble.
I'm Kate McCann. I'm Times Radio's political editor.
When did this story first come on your radar, Kate?
Probably a couple of months ago now, I think. And originally it related to the possibility that Angela Rayner hadn't paid capital gains tax when she sold a property. And then since then, it's evolved into a story about whether or not she was wrongly registered on the electoral roll and whether that also may have been a crime.
Hmm. And the chief or original mischief maker here is Michael Ashcroft, incredibly. And he has quite a track record of delivering these political biographies which have something either damaging or at the very least scandalous. Who's he? Why is he getting involved?
He is a businessman. He is the former deputy chairman of the Conservative Party. He's a Tory peer. He's a very, very wealthy man. He spends a great deal of his time now researching and writing books on politicians and their background. And he picks these figures who he feels are, you know, going to be important in political life. He did a book about David Cameron, for example. People may or may not remember that for a controversial element in it about a pig's head, which yes. We will not go into. There are other books that he's written too. And, you know, he knows a lot of people. He has a huge influence in politics. He's been around for a very long time. He has great contacts and he has good researchers working on these books. So this one for Angela Rayner, for example, is a huge deep dive into where she came from, into her sort of political history, her family history, were picking up out of it, this capital gains tax element. But it was a story that for a lot of people seemed quite strange. It's very detailed. It's quite complicated and it can be quite hard to grasp because it relates to a time around 10 years ago before Angela Rayner was an MP, and it relates to her sort of personal and tax affairs. So I think at the time people sort of read that story and thought, okay, that happened a long time ago. It doesn't really matter. I think Angela Rayner's initial response to the story is what actually has kept it going and is what currently is keeping it in the news agenda.
So if we had the first whiff of this story in Michael Ashcroft's book, then, correct me if I'm wrong, properly took off with an MP wanting to flag this to the police?
So the book was published and it was serialised in a Sunday newspaper. And at that point, obviously, it got some pickup. There was some other stories in newspapers and on broadcast agendas about this particular element about capital gains tax. Angela Rayner then responded to that.
The rules are complex and there's various different ways to which it's calculated. But I got that expert advice because if I did owe any capital gains tax, I would have said, and I would have paid it, but I don't owe any capital gains tax because of the circumstances, and I've gone through that with a tax expert, and they've given me that advice.
Conservative MP James Daly asked the police to look into it, and I think the Conservative Party then saw an opportunity there, because Angela Rayner is one of the strongest performers for the Labour Party when it comes to media appearances. I think they saw an opportunity to maybe give this one a few legs.
Well, let's get into her position then, because as you say, that's where she is now. But actually, she's had a fascinating career, starting out working in the care sector, is that right?
Yeah, she's had a really interesting background. She was a trade unionist originally, Angela Rayner. Always been political, but not always in frontline politics. And around the time of this particular house sale, she had become a candidate and then went on to become an MP. And so I suppose for Michael Ashcroft, this was, you know, a real key moment in her life. It was a key part of her story to becoming an MP. And her background is what makes her attractive to voters. She comes across as a very sort of normal person. She's lived a very sort of, well, a normal life in the nicest way possible. And so that's what makes her such a strong performer. She's different to other politicians, some of whom come to politics straight out of university. They may have parents who've been MPs.
Just an ordinary working class girl, trying to do her best mum, trying to look after her kids and trying to work.
Do you see yourself as a mum above everything else?
I see that as a real priority because at times, like any working mum, you feel like you're trying to do both and probably failing a little bit at trying to, you know, make the time.
She comes from the trade union movement, which, of course, for Keir Starmer, makes her a very valuable asset because he needs that link with the trade union movement too.
Yes. And she became an MP in 2015. But when did she become a political face that we would know?
Probably during the Corbyn years, during the time that Jeremy Corbyn was in office. And when he was really at his peak, I think she was a key part of that moment. And since then, she's changed, I suppose. She was a real kind of hardline left-wing politician. And then Keir Starmer became leader of the Labour Party and vowed to change the party in a direction that perhaps wouldn't have been her natural home. I think Angela Rayner has since sort of changed her sort of attitude to politics a little bit. That has been uncomfortable at times. And the relationship between, say, Keir Starmer and Angela Rayner has been strained at times. If you remember, he tried to demote her and she ended up with actually having more titles and probably more power in the party. So she has clung on, and she is a really important figure, actually, in the Labour Party today.
But also part of her value as well isn't just, I guess, her political pedigree and what she thinks on things, but the way she says them.
Yeah, she's very plain speaking.
Rather than dealing with the cost of living crisis impacting on families, we're talking about scandals in Downing Street again. 2 months now, cabinet ministers have been working hard to make Sue Gray the most famous woman in Britain.
I mean, I suppose that's what has become difficult for her in this affair, actually, because there is a bigger question here about transparency and how you deal with some of those difficult questions. If you are a plain speaking MP, who we are very used to just saying yes, no, and definitely not maybe.
Let's get into those difficult questions then. Difficult is the word. We are about to hear the words capital gains and also electoral register. So health warning on that. Stay with us. This all relates to a former council house. Explain where that is.
So Angela Rayner bought her property, which is in a street called Vicarage Road. She bought it in 2007. As you say, she got quite a discount on that property because it was a former council house. She bought it for £79,000. And at the time, she wasn't married. In 2007, she registered to vote in that property, and she called it her primary residence, which is not surprising because that was where she was living.
Hmm.
Now, where this becomes complicated is that her husband-to-be, who she married in 2010, lived just a mile away in another property just down the road. And the question arises because when she married him in 2010, there is a suggestion that she moved into his property and that she lived there with her children during that time, which would have made that her primary residence. There is some evidence to suggest that that may have been the case. She married in 2010, as I say, and in the same year, she re-registered the birth of her children to that property that he owned originally. And in social media posts, for example, in 2014, she called that property her home.
Hmm.
So the tax question arises because as a married couple, you can only have one primary residence. You can own different properties, but only one of them can be your primary residence. And when she went on to sell her property in 2015 for a significant profit, she sold it for £127,000. If it wasn't her primary residence, if she wasn't living there all the time, she would have had to pay capital gains tax on it.
Yes, because if I sell the house that I live in, even if it's gone up amazingly in value, I don't have to pay capital gains on it because that is my primary residence.
Yeah.
And yet if it is just another house I own that I used to live in or isn't my primary residence, I should be taxed when I sell it on the extra amount that that's appreciated.
Yes, you should.
Where does the electoral register fit into this?
This is a slightly different part of the story. You obviously have to register to vote, and it's a crime not to register at the address that you actually do live at. Angela Rayner did register to vote at her Vicarage Road property, which you would have expected her to do when she was living there.
Yeah.
But she didn't move her vote. As far as we understand it, she didn't then change that. She didn't register to vote at her husband's property, despite registering her children's births at his property. So there is a question, and this is where we get into the question of the police investigation, because the understanding is the Conservative Party have asked the police in Greater Manchester to look into whether Angela Rayner broke electoral rules by not registering to vote at the house that she was currently living at.
Mm.
Now, that is an infringement under the Representation of the People Act, 1983. But the key thing here is there is a year from when you breach that act to take it up, really. If it takes you longer than a year, then usually people wouldn't be prosecuted for it. So we're way out of time on that front.
Yes. But is there, oddly, a consistency in her argument on both of those? If she's saying, no, my primary residence was Vicarage Road, so when I sold it, I didn't need to pay capital gains, and also it was my primary residence, so that is where I was registered for voting purposes.
You might think that. The problem is you can't just say somewhere is your primary residence. You have to actually live in it.
Uh-huh.
So I can't just take up residence in a house in Yorkshire, let's say, register myself to vote there and call it my primary residence. Mm. I would have to be able to prove that that was my home. And clearly, just by the fact that I live and work in London or I'm here all the time, it'd be very difficult for you to do that. I think the problem here is that Angela Rayner has suggested that she had a very complicated personal life. There was some illness in her family. There were some specific circumstances that meant that she, at that time in her life, that things were not straightforward. Now, she has suggested that she was between two homes, or she has led people to think that maybe she was between two homes at that time, and that there is an argument for her to say it was her primary residence. And there is anecdotal evidence from Angela Rayner's former advisor, for example, who said that he picked her up outside her husband's property, that the couple were not living in Vicarage Road. And neighbours around her husband's property said the couple were living there together during that time.
Mm. When all of this first emerged then, what was her response?
Her response when it first emerged was that this property on Vicarage Road was her primary residence and therefore she didn't owe capital gains tax.
Mm.
Since then, it's become more complicated because Angela Rayner has said she will not release the tax advice that she had subsequent to making that decision. So we understand she didn't get tax advice at the time, but she has had tax advice since, probably quite recently, but she won't publicise that tax advice. And there's also been a difficulty, I think, in getting to the bottom of exactly where she was living. She was asked this question at a recent event with journalists. I was there. I asked her about this. And she said that she didn't want to get into a conversation about her family and her complicated family life. She didn't think that she should have to do that because her family deserved privacy and that the home is her primary residence.
Coming up, more from Kate on where this all might go next, and whether it's a minor concern or something that voters are paying attention to. Is it something that could affect Labour's performance in upcoming elections? That's next. If you're enjoying this episode, and why wouldn't you be, and you're a Times subscriber, we have an exclusive insight into the Times newsroom for you. Each Saturday, you can listen to our Inside the Newsroom series, where we interview the journalists who bring our original journalism and stories to you. It's available only on Apple Podcasts, and it's exclusive to Times subscribers.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Kate, you're taking us through this great stooshy over Angela Rayner's house, which house is a primary residence, and the trouble it's got her into at the moment. The police originally did get involved. Why in that first instance? Why did they take a look at it all these years on? Was it just the fact that we were all talking about it in the press and on the radio?
There was a referral of a complaint to the police asking them to have a look into this. And their original response was that essentially, there wasn't really anything to look into here. We don't know because the police didn't explain why, but you might think that that's because on the electoral roll front, it's timed out. You only have a year from when an offence may or may not have been committed to go back to that. Actually, the same applies to capital gains. If you accidentally don't pay tax, so if it's unintentional, HMRC only has 6 years to take that up with you. And this has gone beyond 6 years now. So really, they wouldn't be able to do anything either. So on both fronts, there is really no way to pursue this legally.
Was part of that initial police investigation complicated by the fact that it was the deputy chairman of the Conservative Party who put in the complaint?
I don't think it's complicated from the police's point of view. I think they would have, in fact, if anything, they would have probably looked more closely given that it had a political element to it. I think if you want to set aside the actual did she, didn't she, can the police do anything, and just talk about the politics, I mean, clearly there is a political element to this, right? Mm. We're coming up on the local elections in May. Angela Rayner is one of Labour's strongest media performers. If there is any opportunity for the Conservative Party to try and make things difficult for Labour, they will do that. Asking for an investigation at that moment in time will make things difficult for Labour, whether or not Angela Rayner did do something wrong.
And the pressure continued to be applied, especially from someone like James Daly, because after the police said, OK, there's nothing really to see here, he did take issue with that.
Yeah, the Conservative MP who put in the request or the complaint, if you like, to the police, took issue with it. And I suspect that's because the police, as we understand it, hadn't spoken to the neighbours who lived in the properties around Angela Rayner's own property on Vicarage Road or her husband's property. Some of those neighbours have since spoken to the press and said Angela Rayner was very much living in her husband's property and that actually her brother was living in the home at Vicarage Road, which complicates things still further because there is a question then about whether Angela Rayner was a landlord, whether he was paying her rent. which she has said she's never been a landlord. So, you know, it's even more complicated, if you like. But the understanding is that the Conservative MP felt that the police hadn't done a thorough investigation. Yes.
And I guess the police agreed with that because they've now said they're going to look again.
Yeah, they're going to look again. And we assume they are going to speak to some of those people who have spoken out in the press about her living arrangements. The question still remains whether or not they are looking into the electoral roll issue or the capital gains tax issue, and whichever one they are looking at, whether or not they could take any action, because under the law as it stands, it doesn't seem like they would be able to take it anywhere.
Hmm. And Angela Rayner's position, I guess, has evolved in that she has now said that if they find that she has done something wrong, I'll quit.
I think her position hasn't changed, actually. I think she still says that she feels she hasn't done anything wrong and that she, you know, stuck to all the rules as she understood them at the time. She's using a very similar form of words to that which was used at the time of so-called Beergate during the COVID-19 pandemic, questions over whether MPs got together and had a beer at a time when they ought not to have done.
And just a reminder of that, that was, I remember, the sort of grainy long lens photographs of Starmer and Rayner at some
It was a post-campaign event, yeah. And I think the question was whether or not they ought to have been drinking a beer, and at the time you were allowed to have a beer with a meal, or you were allowed to have a drink with a meal, as long as you weren't. It was very complicated.
And that's before we got into Scotch eggs.
Exactly, or what constituted a full meal or not. Look, that is of its time.
Yeah.
But at the time, one of the things that was said was that, you know, if I've broken the rules, I will go. And that was actually a very successful form of words because it just showed how seriously Angela Rayner was taking it. So yes, I think she recognises that this is a difficult political moment for her, and that using that same form of language does suggest that she takes it seriously.
And is confident that she'll be acquitted, because you wouldn't say that if you thought there was a genuine possibility that they could find you guilty.
Well, I think if you take it to its logical conclusion, you know, she may have made a mistake around capital gains tax, or she may have a reason why she was exempt. Even if, let's say, she did make a mistake and she could have been liable for a capital gains tax bill, and lots of people do make mistakes with tax, she could have owed between £1,500 and £3,500. HMRC would not be able to collect that money now under the current rules. She could make a donation to charity, but she obviously feels that she doesn't have to do that. Otherwise, why would she not have done that sooner? I think the problem with all of this is, if Angela Rayner doesn't feel that she owes that money, she hasn't yet provided a concrete reason as to why not, which is why you and I are still speculating about all the different ways she may not be liable for that tax. She could clear this up by producing that tax advice or explaining it in full.
Yes, or providing more documentary evidence for Vicarage Road being her main primary residence.
I don't know,
photographs or the like.
Or engaging in the questioning, which is, well, hang on, neighbours say you did live with your husband, so why would they say that? The problem is, so far, Angela Rayner has simply said, I have done nothing wrong. It is my primary residence. It was my primary residence. And I don't want to get into conversations that relate to my family because I want to protect them, which, as I say, is entirely understandable. But when you are facing questions like this, which are quite specific, you really do need to either provide the evidence, the tax advice that you got that says you didn't owe capital gains, or you need to put it to bed by saying definitively, I was living there the whole time. Not using quite a careful formulation of language, I think.
Well, as I've set out, it was my home. It's where I pay my rent. It's where I was on the electoral roll. It was my principal residency. You know, sometimes I spent time at my husband's house, of course, because he had the children a couple of days a week. So, you know, my living arrangements at the time were perfectly normal and transparent.
Right. Okay.
And I've done nothing wrong in regards to that. So yeah. I don't really feel like I have to go through every fine minutiae of my life at that time. But I'm very clear that I've done nothing wrong.
Do we know what Keir Starmer thinks about this? I mean, publicly or privately?
The whole party has said that they are behind Angela Rayner. Starmer has said that he has had an explanation from her and he is satisfied with her explanation.
I have full confidence in Angela Rayner and that she hasn't broken the rules. She will cooperate with the investigation, as you would expect. It is now.
Over the last couple of days, we've seen Labour ministers, Labour shadow ministers, asked on the media publicly to defend Angela Rayner, and they have done that, including Yvette Cooper, who said that she felt that Angela Rayner had been transparent and was very keen to engage and be even more transparent.
Angela welcomes the opportunity to set out all of the facts, be it with the police, the HMRC, or the appropriate authorities. And she has done the right thing by taking the independent tax and legal advice and has been clear throughout that she has acted in accordance with it.
How big a problem for Keir Starmer would it be if Angela Rayner were seriously wounded by this?
It would be a big problem. It would be a big problem for a number of reasons. It would be a problem because he is determined to ensure that his party doesn't look like the Conservative Party. He wants to make a clean break to suggest that they were the ones who were breaking the rules. They were the ones who were doing things that they should not have done. My party won't do that. I'm holding everyone in my party to incredibly high standards. But also, just politically, small p, it would matter a lot because Angela Rayner is a really important part of the way that he gets his message across the country. She can speak to people that Keir Starmer would find slightly more difficult to speak to. And, you know, she's got a background that he hasn't got in the trade union movement. I think it would be difficult for him to lose that. So she's often used on campaign visits to go around the country. And when you speak to people about, well, which kind of Labour politicians do you like? Who do you know? People do know her. They might not always know her by name, but they know, oh, the lady with the long red hair, I know her. She's straight talking. She says what she thinks. That for politicians is really important. That's called cut through. And, you know, a lot of people know that she's called Angela Rayner and that sticks with them.
Where does this go next, do you think, Kate? Where are the next pitfalls? Where are the next moments of redemption maybe for Angela Rayner? I mean, who knows?
I think we're waiting to see what the police say now. If they come back and say there's no case to answer here, you know, we have nothing, we've investigated, we don't see any problem, or, you know, it's the end of the matter, case closed, it will be very difficult for people to go on and keep this going if they have looked into it and said that they don't think she did break the rules. I suppose it won't stop some people from still suggesting that there are questions for Angela Rayner. She probably will at some point have to do some kind of an interview to put it to bed and then hope that that will be enough.
Yeah.
And move
Rip
forward.
The Kay Burley Band-Aid off and just have it
done.
Hey,
come do it here. Come do it on Times Radio. Come do it on The Story. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are looking down the barrel of the local elections. Labour stands to gain a number of councils, potentially police and crime commissioners, maybe even, if they're very lucky, mayoral positions. That will be a really important moment for Keir Starmer. I'm not suggesting that this will overshadow that, but if the Tories have any leverage that they can use to say, well, look what they're doing here, look at what this looks like, then that will be a problem for Labour.
That was Kate McCann, Times Radio's political editor. Kate is all over Times Radio, popping up with analysis and insight on this story and more. You can also catch her main show on Sundays at 10 a.m. There is clearly plenty more to come in this story. You will find every twist and turn at thetimes.co.uk. The producers today were Brianka Deladia, Ed Halford and Edith Ruslow. The executive producer is Kate Ford, and sound design and theme tune was by Mau Lasseto. The story at thetimes.co.uk is our new email, so do say what you like, what you'd like to hear more of maybe, or just hello, we don't mind. Goodbye.